Song Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, episode 309. This is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of, that's right, songwriting.
Is it songwriting?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guessed it. We share
baking.
Tips, tools, techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs, or at least that's the theory. And I think it actually has proven itself.
It has, I think.
It works. Yeah. Sometimes it works.
I think I'm better at it.
Yeah.
And I know I am.
Yeah.
I am also your host, Mike Proudfoot, and with me are the romantic members of the Aww. Song Talk Radio Action Team. We have Fervent Phil.
Fervent.
How are you,
Hello,
Phil?
Baby. I'm very romantic. I'm full of love and the love of love and loving love and
You wrote out a little speech.
Yes.
And we have Nourishing Neil.
Nourishing. Very nice. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah.
And how are you?
I'm good. I decided to wear the reddest thing I have.
Kind of a russet, actually.
Yeah, that more of a wine. I think.
You'll stand
but
up
I have
red...
pink in my, a little bit of pink in there, too.
I got the red trousers
on. Yeah,
okay.
On the tech
tell,
board, we have Dazzling Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Oh, yes.
Not so dazzling. I'm in black and blue.
Black and blue.
It's Toronto. Blue counts as a
That's
yeah. And tonight,
sometimes love is all about the black and blue.
Yes. And tonight we're also joined by the most crucial member of the Song Talk team, vivacious Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa's
Thanks.
In the house.
Yeah.
I
excellent.
Did not get the memo, and I'm in all monochrome.
Yeah, but you brought the decoration, so we're
so
good.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. You brought lots of hearts and a boa. During the show, please send your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or feedback at songtalk.ca, and we will share them with the audience. That would be you also. And please visit us at songtalk.ca to find out how you can be a guest on the show. And tonight, as a great songwriter Chrissy Hynde once sang, the reason we're here, every man, every woman, is to love one another, take care of each other. And that's what we're talking about today, love. Just a few days before Valentine's Day, or the day of Valentine's Day for our repeat, or then afterwards if you're listening to the podcast.
We'll try to drop the podcast.
But, you know, it's never too late to tell the people you love that you love them and to play great love songs for them.
I love you guys, man. Yeah.
That's not the point. Any day is a good day to talk about love, and that's what we're going to do on this episode. Each of the Song Talk team have brought in a bouquet of love songs, and we'll play a little bit of each and talk about what makes them so great. So let's get to it.
Love I have a
songs.
Question.
Phil, you have a question?
I do have a question. So we're talking love songs.
That's the idea.
Actually a very wide category.
Well, that's what I realized. It's like pretty well every song, every pop song is a love song.
So are we talking about love songs in the true sense of I'm in love with someone, someone's in love with me, everything is great, or the unrequited love songs?
Yeah,
I would say that's up for the individual person.
I mean,
I would say, though, since it's for Valentine's Day, we tend to skew towards the requited as opposed to the unrequited. But that's not necessarily
so. Because like the word itself, love, it's a very broad defining word. It depends on who you ask. It depends on what context it's in. I mean, there's romantic love, but there's also parental love,
Well,
sibling
it's a beautiful
love.
Joni Mitchell song I was listening to the other day about being a parent.
Yeah.
Not being, and reconnecting with her daughter.
Yeah.
But
I
chose not that. Because
granted, many, 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 many songs are about relationships in one form or another.
Yeah. Yes.
Whether it's love or breakup or unrequited or desire or anything, there's usually a you and an I or a him and a her.
Well, that's true.
Forward,
and I think very often we will write because we're in emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
And, usually it's those relationships that provide that emotional turmoil.
Mm-hmm. And as we found out with our Song Talk Challenge, it's sort of difficult to write positive, happy.
It is.
You
tend to, it's very difficult to not feel sappy or foolish or sentimental. So I think that might be, one of the things we'll be looking for when we play our songs tonight. Yes.
Yeah. Have we all written a quote unquote love song, not an unrequited love song or a brokenhearted song or,
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I find it very interesting to try to, it was not my go-to back in the day or even when I kind of started writing again. But now I'm finding it quite interesting to look at how you can write a sincere love song that isn't generic or dumb or sappy.
Or sappy,
or,
yeah.
You know, so I find that a real challenge. So it's been quite interesting.
Yeah, that's really the challenge for me is to write it so that it's – I mean, most of the time I end up going clever if I do that because I wrote that song for my wife a few years back about how she told me that you've never written me a song. So I wrote a song about how I never wrote her a song.
And it turned it's into – called Here's Your Damn Song.
Here's Your Damn Song, Woman. But yeah, I mean, you know, back in high school I actually wrote a I had a crush on a girl and I wrote an instrumental piece because I was writing instrumental music at that point.
Okay.
I wrote this, you know, beautiful sort of piano string thing in 3/4, dropped a tape at her front door and
– How did it work out?
No. Didn't.
It never does.
She liked the piece but wasn't interested.
Sorry, I don't hate musicians.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is quite wise, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there.
So, Vanessa, what, in your opinion, makes a good love song?
Whoa, what a question.
Surprise question.
I want to say catchy, but then that is slightly irrelevant for a love song? That's a good question.
Well, it's not just irrelevant for a love song, but isn't that any song you'd like is going to be catchy?
I know, that's true. Yeah. Not specific to a love song.
I mean, there's a lot of songs out there about love, but the ones that you like, is there a particular characteristic that in either you look for or in retrospect you go,
I just like it. Yeah. Well, sometimes it's upbeat and it's like, oh, that's catchy.
As long as George Michael is singing it, I'm okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it's Adele, so it's like, oh, okay.
Prince wrote a lot of really great love songs.
Yeah.
In good and unusual ways. He found new ways to approach the topic.
So I don't know. That's a real brain teaser of a question.
We'll come back to you at the end of the show.
Since you posed the question, are you up to answering it?
Yes. Well, I've written lots of unrequited love songs and broken-hearted love songs.
What you think makes a good love song, do you look for something? Or is it you go, hey, all these have this in common?
Well, I did actually write a write-out love song, you know, positive love song. But I actually did that as more of an abstract concept. I wasn't writing about a person or about a specific situation. It was basically just I had written, you know, the music and was trying to find out words, and it seemed to be kind of a positive love song. So I actually had written it. I think there's a lot of bad love songs, and I mean bad in the terms of cheesy love songs that are kind of saccharinely sweet.
Well, I think it's the problem with love songs, or like when you first fall in love or when you break up, even the stupidest pop lyrics, they mean so much.
Yeah, that's true.
They're writing about me. So, but when you're sort of either in the hammock between the first love and perhaps falling out of love, you're much more critical about love songs then, I think.
I think so. And I do like love songs that don't actually use the word love. Because I think that's kind of that's more interesting. I think using the word love in the song is an easy thing to do. Now, that also means it could be very effective. But it's just, for me, it's more interesting if the songwriter uses different language or uses a metaphor or something like that.
Yeah, I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Neil, what do you look for? And perhaps you can use it to tee up your first song.
Yeah, so what I'm kind of the same mind as you guys that I certainly don't like the sappy ones or the cheesy ones or, you know, the Harlequin novel type sorts of things, right?
Not the Pina Colada song then?
Not the Pina Colada song necessarily. It's good for like a gag, right? Yeah, or whatever, that sort of thing, right? But if I'm looking at a good love song, it's got some depth to it. It's got some nuance in the lyric where it's, you know, it's not saccharine, but it's a little bit of the dark side maybe or something about it. Or it's overly positive, but it's so earnest. And like you say, Phil, it doesn't say necessarily, I love you, I love you, I love you, but it's got some kind of twist on it that spins it a certain different way, but it's still pretty clear that it's positive. I think that's good too. And actually for this exercise, I eliminated any song from my selection list that had love in the title. Not necessarily love in the lyric, but love in the title.
All right.
I dispensed of those ones and chose titles that didn't
have love. So what were your criteria for that? You chose 5 songs to and what were the criteria? Was there any kind of way, because it's a lot of love songs, how did you narrow down your choices?
Basically songs that I really like. Okay. Like the ones that sort of came to my mind almost immediately or shortly. I just scrolling through
when you
my
thought of love songs. This
yeah, this is the one right. that I thought of. And like I said, like most of the ones that I picked, all the ones I picked have some kind of nuance to them.
All right, well, give us one. Tell
okay,
us about
so
it.
The first song that I picked, and one of the first ones I thought of, is a song by the Beautiful South called "Perfect 10."
Uh-huh.
And it's a
right.
it's a great song because they're talking about. This idea of loving somebody despite their physical appearance or despite their conventional physical appearance, right?
I see.
And it's quite funny and clever, but it's kind of it's quite sweet, and it's a duet between Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott. And Paul Heaton is one of the songwriters, and Dave Rothray is the other songwriter. And it's just a great little song.
Let's take a listen, Mr. Don, please.
She's a perfect 10, but she wears a 12. Baby, keep a little 2 for me. She could be sweet 16, busting out of the seams. There's still love in the first degree.
When he's at my game, with a big fat A, you wanna see the smile on my face. And even at my door, with a 4-4-4, there ain't no man can replace. 'Cause we love our love in different sizes. I love her body, especially the lies. Time takes its toll, but not on the eyes. Promise me this, take me tonight. If he's extra large, well, I'm in charge. Yeah. I can't work
great.
This
okay.
thing
so perfect
on
10
top.
By the Beautiful South. Again, just, you know, something a little different, right?
Yeah, I like it. She's a perfect 10. She wears a 12. That's
she wears a 12. Save a little 2 for me. Like,
yeah,
it's
great.
It's brilliant.
All right, Phil. So what's your first one up? And what was your criteria?
Again, I think for me it was songs that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of songs I was going to bring, which I didn't. One was Papa Jean's Blues, just because I've actually brought that song in so many times.
Yeah, you brought it a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, it's actually routine, is one yeah. of my, it's a Michael Nesbitt mm-hmm. song. So I didn't do that. I also didn't do A Case of You, which is a marvelous song by Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't really talk about love in a traditional sense.
No, I listened to a bunch of her love songs, and they're really interesting how she goes about it. Jericho, for example.
Yeah, so she's... But these were just ones that I happened to like. And this one is by the Style Council. And mm-hmm. it's You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great love song.
And it's interesting because the Style Council really grew out of the Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last album of the Jam was kind of like the first Style Council album.
Mm.
And then they broke up. And then I think him and the drummer kept on with the Style Council, uh-huh. Which became much more kind of...
The bass players are so hard to get along with.
Oh, they are. They're terrible people. They really are.
They're the worst.
And it was interesting because at the time it was... you know, kind of a very unusual sound, a very kind of Motown-y,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, the stuff wasn't very Motown-y. So it was kind of a great song, and it seems to be one that's kind of, again, doesn't actually say, you know, I'm in love with you, but it actually has a very strong, very clear message, I think.
Wait, so did you have your hand up to leave the room or to ask a question, Vanessa, or were you just stretching?
Sorry, I was just stretching.
All right.
I do raise my hand when I want to speak, and at work they always say, you're not in school. And I say,
well, no,
yeah,
I
but I'm not going to interrupt.
It would be good here, would stop us from talking over each other. Anyway, let's
Sorry,
take a listen
stretching.
To Style Council. You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened.
Just the rainbows.
Interesting. I've never heard that song before.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
but that's a really interesting hook, and this is something I learned on Song Talk Radio.
Yeah. It's a good show, you know.
Yeah, it's not bad. Has its
Wish
moments.
More people listen to it.
So you're the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
There's a lot of harder consonants in there. Best thing.
Yeah.
The TH and the G and then happened, P's. Like usually, you know, like choruses are very vowel intensive.
It's
a little more of a breathy kind of thing, especially for a song like that.
But so it gives a real rhythm to it, right?
Yeah, it definitely gives a certain rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's an unusual choice. It's not that it's not bad.
But this song is pretty unabashed. Like there's no double meaning or trick lyrics.
It's very honest.
It's just
no.
Hard out sincerity. It's very moving, though.
This was released in 1984, which was still, you know, heavy, lots of, you know, kind of electronics.
Gated drums.
Know. Yeah.
And this was, guitars.
And, you know, Paul Weller was off just doing this old kind of, you know, Motown soul stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really, really different at the time. And
for sure. And
Paul Weller, all his stuff is great, right? From the early jam days to his solo stuff, he's just a master of songwriter.
Yeah,
he should come on the show sometime.
Yeah. I think. 1984,
just,
that ain't Duran Duran.
Submit your interest.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah. No, 1984, this is not Duran Duran.
Oh, no, it's not.
That's what I was
It's not, but they wrote
All
some
right.
nice
What's
love songs,
What's your first
too.
Pick, Mike? Yes, of course.
There are so many love songs. I mean, so many pop songs are love songs, and there's so many great classic ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney, Maybe I'm Amazed, or Bob Dylan, Lay Lady Lay, a lot of Joni Mitchell songs. So I thought, okay, I got to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be the last 10 years or so.
Okay.
And then I also thought about a word that I learned on this show, because song talk is so informational.
Yes.
prosody, right? Where
yes.
songs sound like what they're about.
Yes.
And there are some love songs that don't sound like love songs. They're upbeat
right.
or
yeah.
like I
yeah.
think that Rolling Stones' Happy is a great love song. You know, I need your love to keep me happy.
Right.
But it's so upbeat and kind of mm-hmm. ramshackle. It doesn't sound. So
right, right. Gotcha.
I can, okay. So it also should sound that way.
Okay.
And then, like I think the both of you, I went, okay, I want to find another twist on it so it's not just a straight out I love you, though I do have one that's like that. But mm-hmm. here's the first one. It's called Permission by a guy named Roe James. Not many people know about him, but he actually won an R&B Grammy in 2016. German-born, but, you know, grew up in America. Very kind of Prince-like in some ways. But what I chose this song because it's very modern into it because it's basically he's saying, you know, I want to do all these things, you know, very kind of, you know, typical soul song, except but with your permission.
Right.
So I'll just take a
age of consent.
Exactly. So it's very much about consent.
Yes.
To do the dirty. So let's take a listen. And listen to the lyrics. They're quite sharp.
Oh, give me that green light. I need you to give me that green light. With your permission, I just wanna put a little smile on you. Ooh. With your permission.
So it's a real late night slow jam, but he wants to make sure he's doing it right.
You're
okay with everything every step of the way. So I thought, hey, that's kind of sexy for 2020.
Certainly. Now, is there a chorus to that, or is it just this?
That bit, with your permission.
It's kind of a refrain, maybe.
Yeah, it's
more
of a refrain.
Okay.
There's
nice.
A lot of little hooky parts in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah, I thought, well, that's a neat take on it, considering a lot of his other songs are kind of rude. So at least he's enlightened on one track.
Yeah.
So, Neil, what do you got for us?
Okay, so
else?
Number two is a Decemberist song called We Both Go Down Together. And if you know anything about the Decemberists, Colin Molloy, the songwriter.
Okay, so I'm still stuck in Roe James, and I think, that sounds like a really rude song. But
well, it could be a different kind of soundtrack. But anyway, if you know anything about the Decemberists, that Colin Molloy, the principal songwriter, he often goes to like English folklore and stuff and does these really elaborate narratives. So I kind of wish we could listen to the whole song. Mm-hmm. But the basic story is it's a INU persona setup. And we've fallen in love. We come from different backgrounds. Our parents don't approve. And the whole central idea is that we go falling over a cliff together.
Oh, okay.
And end our lives, but we're together. Like the big but is that we are doing this together. It's a little bit of not exactly a Thelma and Louise kind of thing, but that's sort of a thing.
I get that.
Right?
A little murder suicide balladish and
It's a little bit. So it is
which
tragic.
Is a tradition in folk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it is tragic in that sense, and maybe the prosody is not so strong because it's pretty. It's not upbeat, but it's got a good energy to it and great melodies and everything.
Sound like people plunging to their death.
No, certainly not.
Well, let's take a listen.
Here on these cliffs of Dover, so high you can't see over, and while your head is spinning, hold tight, it's just beginning.
Supportive of.
Yeah, and you're supposed to have a positive. I think maybe that's the idea. Is the music supposed to turn the negative tragedy into a positive? Because in the songwriter's mind, it is a positive. We are together, even though we're not part of this world anymore.
Or rather, Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, except not accidental.
Right. Phil, what's next up for you?
I have a question. Did you raise your hand?
Yes.
The love songs that that we have listened to, have they ever inspired you to write something of your own?
Only in the way that any song I listen to does. And like, how do they do that? Like, I don't think I hear a song and go, I want to write something that sounds like that or is like that. It's more like I have an idea and then I go to certain songs to figure it out, whether it's a song structure idea or lyrical idea or production idea. That's for me, Neil.
Not per se. I mean, it's sort of in the bank, right? So it's simmering. But I mean, that's part of the reason we do these theme shows, is to narrow it down and look at something specific, right? So now that we've looked at these specifically, it is something that I may look to. Because our other theme shows that we've done here, it has kind of, you know, I wouldn't say inspired, but it's certainly given you a tool to work towards,
right,
or to use, to put in your toolbox and say, hey, you know, this is something that I could use potentially in a future song or an aspect of it or a certain part of it.
The way songs help for me is sometimes I'll put them on in the other room so I can only half hear them and then sing along to a song I don't know, and it helps me find a new melody to
it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great tip.
That's pretty cool.
So that worked out pretty well. What about you, Phil? Do you find yourself inspired by songs that you hear?
Sometimes. I mean, a great way of actually learning how to write better songs is to find a song that you think is fantastically written and really pull it apart, like figure out all the chords, figure out, you know, how the melody, like where does the melody start? Does it start on the third or the fifth? And how it moves through the chords, and really kind of pull it apart so you really can understand how the song actually is constructed and works, and I think you can learn a lot.
Yeah, and then you can apply that to so many.
Yeah, because you're trying to figure out the techniques that they've used, even if those techniques are unconscious.
Yeah.
You figured out, okay, well, this is what that's.
And by the time it's filtered through you and your skill and your voice or your playing style, it'll sound completely different.
It was Blair, who was on the show a while back. One of the times he was on a while back, he talked about "She's So High" by Tal Bachman.
And apparently,
that's what Tal Bachman did. Is he dissected the crap out of a bunch of Beatles songs. You know, how many bars until the next change? I mean, was the pre-chorus, is the chorus, where do the melodies go, all that sort of stuff. And then he wrote She's So High.
Right. Yeah, which is a great song, actually.
Yeah, you know, yeah, fantastic. That's a fantastic song.
So the song, this next one is, it's kind of a fun, it's a bit of a one-hit wonder. It's
Are we listening to it already?
Playing it already?
No, I don't know what the heck that is.
That's your phone.
Oh.
That's Phil's theme music.
I don't know what the heck is.
One moment, please.
We're taking calls now on our show, apparently.
What do they call that? So that's
Phil's hype
music.
Do you need
music.
Me to fill fill in
and
for
now,
Phil?
This is what it is.
Okay.
And it's by a band called the Joe Boxers.
Remember them?
And again, it was like 1983, I think. Mm-hmm. And this was, again, really different than everything else was. And they sort of had this kind of get up. It was, a 6-7-piece band. And they had, the pork pie hats and things like that. And they had this really catchy song called Just Got Lucky. And it's really catchy. After listening to it a few times, I think it could have used a bridge. But it's a really fun song, and it's a great way of talking about being in love but not actually using the word love, you know? So let's take a listen to the Joe Boxers' Just Got Lucky.
For those just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio, streaming on songtalk.ca. And tonight we're talking love and playing you some of our favorite love songs. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, even during the show. So share your thoughts and questions with us, Song Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or send an email to feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts and answer your questions here on the show. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Song Talk Meetup on Monday, February the 24th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transact Club here in Toronto. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. And coming up on Song Talk Radio next week, February 18th, Toronto blogger and PR professional Eric Alper will be here to talk about how songwriters can work with PR professionals, how to find a good one, and all that good stuff.
That will be a good one.
That will be very informational.
Yes,
because his clients are quite successful.
Yes, they are. February 25th, we have soprano singer and composer songwriter Donna Linklater.
Oh, great. Us.
And she uses an amplified ukulele, so hey.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Distorted ukulele is always good.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Through a Marshall stack.
Who's next?
Well, okay. One thing I want to mention about the song that we just finished off.
Joe Boxer's I Got Lucky. Just Got Lucky.
A great chorus hook.
It does,
Simple and right to the point. I love it.
And it's they do some really interesting lyrical things. Like, I'm really happy and I'm feeling Jake. Which is the word Jake doesn't mean anything, but it's the way they use it. You know, it means that he felt great.
It's a slang term.
And it's, so I thought the lyrical aspects were really cool. And I have seen some live tapes of them, and I think they're all like jazz guys. They're like super incredible musicians.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that I don't think they ever had any other hits, but I don't know how successful this one was. But it was.
Are they a British group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just a great fun little song, which really kind of stood out from the pack at the time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Awesome.
I think listening to that upbeat, I think one of the things that I was. My criteria also were that it was kind of romantic, or it would be kind of, you know, that you'd play, dinner music or post-dinner music or something.
But not schmaltzy.
Not schmaltzy.
Yeah.
One that is, I think, like your first choice, Phil, this is an unabashed love song. It's Janelle Monáe, who also opened up the Oscars and did a great job, a song called Prime Time. And it's just, you know, it's just celebrating being in love. One of the things I liked about it was it's a little meta. So tonight it's me and you alone. I won't make a call. I won't even write a song. So that's kind of clever. So let's just take a little bit of listen to that. But it's pretty well straight ahead, sincere, and no trickery.
Tonight it's me and you alone. Won't make a call. Won't even write a song. See, I've been waiting and waiting.
That would be Janelle Monáe, and
nice.
You know, and it ends with heaven is betting on us. Can there be a more positive, spirit,
nice. Yeah.
To you know, bless two people, a union? Thank you. That's
what year is that?
That was her latest album, Dirty Computer, I think, which would have been last year.
It has
But Prince. So they must have recorded this a while ago.
Or unless it might have been off the previous album. I can't remember. I know I should have done more research. And if you talk among yourselves, I'll find out. Prince was her mentor and did play on some of her songs. And her latest, the lead-off single from her latest album, sounds just like Prince, the production. There's
an interesting modern production style that I've noticed in a lot of modern tracks. Where the, back in the day, the point was to differentiate your verse and your chorus. You'd have a verse and you'd have a chorus and they'd be very distinctive things. And, you know, you'd know when the chorus would be coming because it would often have different instrumentation or certain hooks added to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of production now, there doesn't seem to be a real specific difference between the verse and the chorus, even if there's a musical change. There's not much of a production change, which is interesting.
Yeah, and maybe it's because people buy beats and they buy beds and the way that at least modern pop music is put together, and then it's up to the vocalist and perhaps
really let the melody carry you through the chorus more than anything else, and everything else kind of remains the same.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And just that was from her previous album, Electric Lady, which came out in 2016.
Ah, okay, right.
But I recommend. All her records are fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
It's just a straight, pure love song.
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
And it's
nice.
Also a duet. I think a lot of good love songs are duets.
Yes.
They can be.
With Miguel.
Yeah, they can. With Miguel.
There's a beautiful song called Adorn. Yeah. He sounds like Marvin Gaye. It's beautiful.
Yes, all love songs should be duets with Miguel.
Yeah, or Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what else you got for us, Neil?
My next song is one
spread
that...
Spread the love.
Yeah, spreading the love here. This is one that I did think of almost right away when we suggested this show, because it's a song by Sarah McLachlan, and self-proclaimed it's her only... Well, I picked the live version of this song called Ice Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And
excellent pick, Neil.
And thank you, Vanessa. And, you know, Sarah McLachlan, if you know about her stuff, she's very melancholy, right? And doesn't necessarily write a lot of
her love songs are not like there's a twist or there's a darkness to it. She doesn't just write out and out love songs.
And I think this song has kind of got a bit of that darkness, but the positive is so happy that I think a lot of her fans have just taken it on as a straight out and out happy song. But I picked the live cut that I have because the way she introduces it is pretty interesting and cute.
So let's take a listen to it.
This is my one and only love song. Well, that is without a one that doesn't have a bad ending. It's called Ice Cream.
Love song, but everyone knows how to cry.
And then the second verse is everyone, or your love is better than chocolate, but everyone here knows how to fight.
Right,
and it's a long way down to where we started from. It's a very simple lyric, but there is that little bit of, you know, if you go to songmeanings.com, everyone's got a different interpretation. Everyone's like, oh, it's a straightforward love song. No, it's about a long standing relationship that, you know, they're in love, but they've had many fights.
Yeah,
you know, but they're sticking it out kind of thing. Like there's a lot of different interpretations.
Sorry, I just want to get back to something you said. Just songmeaning.com? What's that?
Songmeanings.com.
Oh, excellent.
It's a really fun website.
What is it?
So people post up lyrics of songs, and then people in the comment section, they give their interpretation of how they interpret
those
lyrics.
That is really cool.
Or what the song is, quote-unquote, really about, according to fans.
Yeah. They'll say, like, oh, I heard an interview, and they said, actually, this song is about this.
It's about drugs.
There's also, arguing in there because it's like commenting. So.
Yeah, especially for the more abstract.
Wait, arguing on the internet? In the comments?
That
must be something new.
Usually told to never read the comments. This is one site where you can read the comments.
Sorry, I cut you off in this. What were you going to say?
Oh, just that if you're not really paying attention to the lyrics of the song, you're like, oh, that's nice. Like, oh, your love is better than chocolate. You know, like, okay. But then when you pay attention, you're like, oh, okay.
She's not a happy person, is she?
I can't name a single, like, really out and outright happy Sarah McLachlan song. Like,
no.
She doesn't go there.
That's not her niche.
That's not her shtick.
Phil.
It's like trying to find a happy Smith song.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, that's not his jam.
Girlfriend in a coma.
So, one of the problems with doing a show for 6 years is I'm not sure if I've told this story before.
Oh, probably.
So,
is it going to segue into your song?
It is.
Okay,
for the new listeners.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to talk about my new shoes.
Is there a bit of key change going down?
So I was actually working at a record store, and someone brought back the Talking Heads album, Burning Down the House. It was a vinyl. Because on the other side, there was just weird music.
Yes.
And so I was listening to you know, Burning Down the House because it's an awesome album. And then I thought, well, I'll turn over the album and listen to the, you know, the second side. And there's actually a lot of tedious stuff to do in a music store, you know, when you're like filing records and so on. And it was this music, and it was really weird because I was still coming off of punk and listening to a lot of British underground stuff. And it was like this guy was writing music like the Pistols never happened. It was really, really weird. I was just kind of listening to it, and I kind of liked it. I'm just going like, what the hell is this? And it's this songwriter. His name is Marshall Crenshaw.
Yeah.
And he's an amazing songwriter. And he writes really kind of classically formed, classically constructed songs in a very kind of
pure
way.
He was part of the pure pop movement that came sort of afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Matthew Sweets and he and a few others.
Is he related to Nick Kershaw?
No.
Okay.
It's Crenshaw.
American? Oh, Crenshaw. Sorry.
Yeah. So the whole album, it's this album that was on the other side. I probably should have kept that album because it might have been worth something because it was, you know, one side because it was a pressing error, right?
I see. Oh. Okay. I was wondering how you had a different album on the other side.
Does that mean you were missing half of the Burning Down the House album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, because it was a pressing error, which some apparently
should have kept that.
Yeah.
Non-Frank stamps and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of weird. So the song I'm going to play is For Her Love.
Uh-huh.
It's off of, all of his stuff is great, but this is off of his Field Day. And this was like one of the songs on this album. And I was just listening, like, this guy has written music like the Sex Pistols never happened. It's such a beautifully constructed, simple song, but also a very pure love song as well. So
let's hear it, man.
So this actually has the refrain. He uses the refrain for her love, for her love. Mm-hmm. But actually, then it does have kind of a bridge, a chorus section after that. It's an interestingly
post-chorus,
but really beautifully constructed, simple, very pure, and like not a bit of snark or irony through the whole thing.
No, the sincerity of it is quite nice.
It's hard to be sincere and not be sappy. Like, it's very easy to be to be snarky or twisty or, you know,
sardonic.
Well, I
wonder about that. I mean, is that – and I, if you're the singer, you're revealing something about yourself when you sing. And so that might be a defense mechanism to either to do it as snark or to kind of to bury your open heart.
That's what I was talking about last week on the – or 2 weeks ago on the Songwriting Challenge show, where I really wanted to write a heartfelt, earnest song, but I ended up going snarky and clever, right?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of heart in there, but defense mechanism,
Yeah.
It is hard.
It is a challenge, you know? Without being saccharine or without being cheesy, right?
And maybe that's the problem is like we're so worried about being sweet and sick, you know, and saccharine that we – don't allow ourselves. Maybe you have to be kind of sappy and then maybe pull it back.
Or at least to be honest, to connect.
Yeah.
Which actually, my next song, it's kind of frighteningly honest. It's Kay Flay, who's a great, I'm going to say new singer. She's not that new, but she's sort of recently getting discovered to the point where I think a song of hers was on the soundtrack to that last Tomb Raider movie. So she's been kind of discovered. But this is about a very dysfunctional relationship. I was reading a little bit, and she said it's kind of a true relationship. But the chorus is, if the cops come calling, I'll never talk, about how you get sort of you get hijacked in a bad relationship and you don't have the perspective on it. And she's very, very honest about how she's in this relationship, and she's singing like she loves a guy, and you hear it, and you know, get out of that relationship, honey. So let's take a listen to a bit of it. It's called The Cops.
We've all been there.
Kay Flay.
You're sunning my insides, you're making me wish that
that I was a better girl with a steady hand that you wanted to be with. But even if the cops come calling, say even if the cops come calling, I'll never talk, even if you wreck me, even if you waste the youth I've got. But baby, if the cops come calling, I'll never talk. When it's easy for you.
So that's Kay Flay and the Cops.
Nice. I
would recommend almost any song of hers. She's a fantastic songwriter. Writes really interesting songs that are like sonically interesting, and she's a fantastic rapper.
Yeah, have you searched really K Flay?
K, like the initial K, capital K, period, F L A Y, okay. Flay.
Oh, right. Cool. All right.
And she's, we got like Kate Flaherty or something, but okay. Yeah. K Flay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Do we have viewer mail?
We do.
What did I say?
It's from Sharon Rose.
Hi, Sharon.
So sad that we often think sentiment is cheesy. We weren't always so cynical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just been done to death.
Cynical.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but yeah, like certainly in the 50s and the 60s, at least initially doesn't seem so cynical. But yeah, I don't know.
It's true, though. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a shame. And it's a shame we're getting close to time. We've got so many more songs.
Yeah.
So, Phil, tell us about your two songs you have on your list, and we'll play one of them.
All right. Well, one of them is Possession by Massive Attack, which is such an interesting song. The lyrics are, I'll stand in front of you, take the force of the blow, and which I think is a beautiful protection, and such a beautiful sentiment. Again, very heartfelt, but very a different way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly not romantic in that necessarily, not necessarily romantic. In
romantic,
that
but you know, kind of, you know, in
there's
in
a violence
life
to that imagery.
Yeah, but I mean, in life, sometimes you know, you do take the force of the blow in terms of like the emotional hit for your, you know, for your partner or whatever. So I thought that was quite good. One of the ones, there's a whole bunch I didn't get to, but one of them is, I think, from Roxy Music's brilliant Avalon album, which is like one of the most masterfully produced albums
like
possible.
Butter.
It's like butter. And this one's called Turn You On. And it's just, it's, you know, the classic Brian Ferry kind of warm, but again, you know, it's about being in love, but it's kind of a fresh take on it, I think.
All right, let's take a quick listen.
I could show you in word if I wanted to. A window on the world with a lovely view. From close up inside a single room with an open book beside. Like you read in school, it's so easy, believe me, when you need fun, I do anything to you want.
It's okay, I'm more important.
Musical chairs.
Yeah.
What?
I'm more important.
Right.
I'm taller. I'm the tallest. It's got to count for something.
So, ego?
It's a beautiful. You know, talk about prosody. That whole album sounds romantic, even if the songs aren't.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's such a luxurious. That album sounds like a 1,000-count sheet.
It does, actually.
I like the way you put that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good choice.
And maybe the prosody is not that strong because some of the songs are darker. And
yeah,
it's kind
well,
of
but
still,
the sound of
the
it
sound
is great.
The sound of it is
so
luxurious.
What do you got? You've got two more songs. So tell us about them and we'll play one of them.
Yeah, so my other two songs, one is called Cast Your Line by a singer-songwriter artist named Elle Michelle, who I don't think is very popular. I discovered her on noisetrade.com, actually.
Oh, okay.
Very kind of poppy sensibility. And this song.
How do you spell?
Elle, like E-E-L-L-E, and then Michelle.
Okay.
And this song is really like an unrequited love, like get your act together, buddy. Like I'm noticing you, you're not noticing me.
Right.
But her catchphrase is cast your line. And my other song actually is from local singer songwriter Angela Saini, and her song
Excellent.
Black Sheep, because it's a great self love song. Because that's one of the things we haven't explored in we're talking about love songs. It's a really kind of boost your
and you
up.
You mean an empowering self-love,
empowering
not
song.
Like Divinyl's I Touch Myself song.
Well, no, not quite like that.
Which is a fine song.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a romantic song in its own way.
It's got its thing. But,
hey, no one's going to love you if you don't love yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what I told the judge.
And that's why you keep getting thrown off the streetcar.
Angela had that lyric in the chorus, like, just be yourself. You're better at that than anyone else.
Right.
Which is kind of, it's a nice, way of putting it. And it's kind of interesting.
Well,
right?
Cool.
But I think I will play a bit of Cast Your Line just because the way that the production on this song is pretty cool. But listen to the way that El Michelle constructs the melody in the lyric in the chorus. It's really quite inventive and neat.
Cool. Hit, Don.
Catch line.
Give me a sign to let me know you're interested. I can't make the first move every time. Could you define how you feel about me? Because that would save us both some time. No more games, just be straight with me.
Okay, so that's Cast Your Line by El Michelle.
That's great. I love the sound of it.
It's catchy. It's not quite
clever.
And
she's a current artist, right?
She's a current artist. This was maybe 2 or 3 years ago I discovered
excellent.
Her.
Well, that's worth checking out for sure. So my two songs that I had left over, one we'll get to, both are about, they sound like love songs. The first one is Bloodstream by Stateless, and it's almost, I don't know, violent, or there's something intrusive about the degree of love. I remember watching House of Cards, and the character, Frank Underwood, says of his wife, "I love her like a shark loves blood."
Ooh.
Right? And this is kind of the same thing, where the lyrics
That's
are like, "I think I might have inhaled you. I can feel you behind my eyes. You've gotten into my bloodstream. I can feel you floating in me. Flowing in me,"
nice.
Right, which is very deep and bloody and passionate, and it sounds like the best song Coldplay ever wrote. The one I wanted to play, I just think the lyrics are fantastic, and it really does convey the fact that he wants to get this woman to love him. It's an Arctic Monkeys song, but they adapted lyrics from a poem by John Cooper Clarke, which actually is now on the syllabus in public schools in Britain. So the song is called "I Want to Be Yours," and just listen to the lyrics. They're fantastic for a romantic song.
I want to be your vacuum cleaner, breathing in your dust. I want to be your Ford Cortina, I will never rust. If you like your coffee hot, let me be a coffee pot. You call the shots, babe. I just wanna be yours. Secrets I have held in my heart are harder to hide than I thought. Maybe I just wanna be yours. I wanna be yours. I wanna be yours. Wanna be yours.
So, yeah, I just think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It sounds loving, and even the way there's sort of a really kind of tricky rhyme scheme with secrets I've held in my heart are harder to hide than I thought, which is a bit of a tongue twister when you say it, but he sings it so so fluidly.
Well, nice original images of being in love too, which aren't you know, which aren't overdone. And I think that's the hardest thing about writing a love song is not to use those phrases that have been overused.
Yeah, you've no doubt of his passion, and he's really trying to figure it out. So, yeah, I just thought that was...
I wanted to say one more thing about Elle Michelle, the artist that I played last song. On that album that Cast Your Line was on, her second track is called Corny Love Song.
Oh, perfect. So I think I gotta check that out, Elle Michelle. Well, I'm afraid by the sound of the song and the music playing that is all the time we
the
have
love is
tonight.
Over.
No, that's it.
No more no love more for you love. Folks.
No more love for you.
Yeah. Special thank you to all the lovers everywhere. May your passion bloom more strongly throughout the year. Send us your impressions on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Song Talk Radio, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes. And please stop by our site at songtalk.ca. I think we'll probably post the lyrics of all these songs tonight so you can revel in their writing genius.
That. And we'll have a sound...
we're going to have a Spotify playlist.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll have a Spotify playlist so you can listen to all these songs and read along and sing along. Subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher.com, Spotify, Podcast Addict, or TuneIn.com. And do not forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. And you'll find links to all the products, books, web services, etc. that we mention on our show on the resources page at songtalk.ca. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Song Talk meetup. I'll be hosting Monday night, February 24th, from 7 to 10 at the Transat Club here in Toronto, Bathurst and Bloor area. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. So stop by songtalk.ca for the link. Thank you to Don on the tech board thingy.
Thank you, Don.
Also, a big thank you to Vanessa for all her help. And most of all, we'd like to thank you, our lovely listeners. You can follow Neil at
neilmodi.com.
That seems pretty straightforward. Phil.
The Phil Emery on Twitter.
Oh, and that's a PH Phil, not the F. I-L-L.
That's true. Phil. No, it's PH.
Okay. And me, you can you can track down my Instagram at proudfoot420 and see some pretty pictures. And Don, if people wanted to find you, how might they?
Don Thompson, 777, Twittergram.
Spell Thompson, right?
Without
is there a P in there? There's
T-H-O-M-S-O-N.
No P.
T-H-O-M-S-O-N, yes. No
yeah,
P.
No P. For all you Scrabble fans, spelling his name will not get you as many points.
Yes, he's all points.
Please stop by the website at songtalk.ca in case you missed that, and browse our past shows, find out how you can be a guest, and learn lots more about songwriting. And we want to hear your great songs, so let us know, and keep writing and keep rocking.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.
We love you.